Welcome to the Elixir Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, diving into the Detroit Lions passing game preview. And I think the striking thing about this team is the amount of change. So much change. So I'll walk through some of that. I don't think a ton of what they've done in prior years is particularly useful because there's so much change, new quarterback, new coaching staff. So all the pass game splits, all that stuff, you got to be kind of careful on that. But I think some of the stuff from the past is kind of important. So out is Matt Patricia, in is Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell has 12 games of coaching experience as a head coach, and that was in Miami in 2015. Despite all the "we're going to bite them in the kneecaps" and, you know, all that mumbo jumbo that he did in the press conference there, 32nd in rushing attempts in the 12 games that he was the coach in Miami. You know, he's about middle of the pack in passing attempts. So maybe that some of that was splits or whatnot in terms of, you know, pacing and all that stuff. But I think it's notable that that's a narrative. I think that's kind of taken hold. They're going to be this old school punch you in the mouth type team. That's not been the history. Again, small sample, and that was a couple presidents ago. So if you're just thinking about that, like it's a while ago in terms of how long that's been. So just keep that in mind. He's been the assistant head coach and tight end coach with New Orleans since 2016. So I think there's probably going to be some Saints influence there. New OC Anthony Lynn was the head coach with the Chargers for the past 4 years. Never really was the play caller. So that's an interesting thing there. So you don't exactly know how that all is going to play out. But I do think there's some notable things to take from his time with the Chargers. So again, this is going to be a ground focused attack. Only once has he ranked in the top half of the league in rushing attempts. That was in 2020. So just keep that in mind. In the past 4 years, 19th, 19th, 28th, and 9th in rushing attempts. Yards per attempt the last 4 years, 26th, 7th, 23rd, 30th in terms of rushing yards. Yards, 25th, 15th, 28th, 18th. So again, only once in the top half. So just keep that, bear that in mind as you're considering this team. That's why I think there's some aspect of it that's like, hey, this isn't probably as bad for Goff as we might otherwise think. So just sort of keep that in mind. Passing attempts over the past 5 years, 8, 24, 10, and 5. Net yards per attempt. Again, this is a little bit of a quarterback stat, so just be careful there. 2, 5, 8, and 15. So Anthony Lynn has overseen and been the head coach for passing offenses that have been pretty good. Again, how predictive is that? We'll have to see. It's not necessarily his playbook, all that stuff. So just, I think, bear that in mind. But the idea that this is going to be some, you know, 1950s offense because of what the coach said in the press conference, I'm not so sure that's true. So just keep that in mind when you're looking at some of the splits and all that stuff. Gone from the offense, Matthew Stafford, Kerryon Johnson, Adrian Peterson, Marvin Jones, Kenny Galladay, Danny Amendola, Mohamed Sanu, also gone Jesse James. Added to the offense, Jared Goff, Jamal Williams, Tyrell Williams, Rashad Perriman, Chad Hansen, Darren Fells. They drafted Penei Sewell, added Amon-Ra St. Brown. So Penei Sewell is going to play right tackle for them. They have Decker back. They have a good center in Frank Ragnew. He's one of the better centers in the league. And then they have a little bit of question mark at guard play. And then they'll have Penei Sewell on the right side. So, you know, if Sewell plays well, like, they've got some pretty good pieces to the offensive line there. 9th in terms of pass blocking as a unit last year, 13th in terms of rush blocking as a unit. I think some of the stuff between Stafford and Goff's pretty interesting. So when you just look at it, we'll just do, you know, a couple of the metrics here I think that are important. Intended air yards by Stafford the past 5 years. So this goes back to 2016. This is how long ago Next Gen Stats has these numbers. So the past 5 years, attempted air yards or intended air yards by Matthew Stafford, 8, 8, 7, 10.7, 9. So that's a little bit more vertical. Goff, 7.5, 8.1, 8.8, 7.8, and 6.5. You see the spot where McVay became to get concerned about Goff past 2 years? Kind of shows up. Aggressive throws, and this is something I think is interesting. I think a lot of this is schematic and personnel based. So just sort of keep that in mind. You can see some changes here. For Stafford, aggressive throws the past 5 years, 20.6%, 19.6%, 16%, 23.4%, 16.7%. Over the past 5 years for Goff, 25.9%. Remember, that was the disaster season. That was when everyone thought it was very good. Past 4 years, 14.3%, 13.2%, 12.8%, 12.7%. So he is throwing to more open guys. I think that's probably the easiest way to say that. And is that schematic? And if you're sort of looking for some of the Stafford stuff, that could be a spot where you could say that's interesting. And there's some of those years where Goff's actually throwing it further down the field than Stafford was. For example, of the years, Stafford has the top two, and then after that, in terms of attempted air yards or intended air yards, after that, Goff's got the next two. So it isn't just Goff's putzing along, dunking the ball off. In the mid-career stuff, it was still a very low aggressive rate with some higher-end intended air yards. So just sort of keep that in mind there. Over expectation, Goff has been basically... he's either been very not good or he's been just above the median. So I think that's what you can basically take from that. So -5.3, -3, 0.6, -3.6, and then +0.4 the past 5 years. So very much either not good or just okay. When you look at the past 5 years for Stafford, +3.7, +0.9, -0.4, +3.4, how was the year he got hurt in 2019, and then -1.1. The yards per attempt as well, over the past couple years, it's really been a smash for Stafford, 8.6 in 2019, 7.7 in 2020, 7.4 for Goff in 2019. That's more than a yard difference per attempt. That's a big deal. And then last year, just short of 1.2. That's a half yard difference. So again, those are big differences between the two guys. Under pressure, Goff was 34th in the league in 4.3 yards per attempt last year. And with a clean pocket, 8.2 yards per attempt, that is actually top 10. That's ninth in the league, and 70.5% of dropbacks, he had a clean pocket. So just bear that in mind as well. It's the 13th most. We'll see how that all boils down. Yards per route run for Hockenson was 1.57. He was sixth in terms of target share last year at his position with 18.5%. 79th in terms of points per route run in his career. So points per route run is a new metric that I'm looking at. It's more predictive of future performance than points per target is. And I think it actually speaks a little bit differently than points per game. Points per game is actually pretty predictive and kind of matches up with a lot of, it's very similar. Especially when you sort of go up to some of the guys that have higher targets, it's very similar to points per route run. It's about 0.3 or so of R squared. So that, you know, predicts about 30%, 33% of future performances predicted by the past year. So that's better than points per target. And I think it actually speaks to a little bit more the skill of passing. A lot of times is getting a target, and that's actually part of the skill-based stats that isn't really brought up in points per target, because you're just measuring, hey, when he was targeted, what happened, not how often was he actually targeted in that stat. So I do think it shows up as being more sticky because of that stuff. Hockenson 79th percentile in terms of that. So that's a very good stat for him. Again, he hasn't fully broken out yet, and I think that there's room for him to grow. But I think from where he is, like, he can look at that and say, like, hey, he's been pretty good so far in his career. Brashad Perriman, 1.36 yards per route run last year, so that's not particularly good. Tyrell Williams was out in 2020. Through their careers, Tyrell Williams, 0.33 points per route run, that's 67th percentile. 0.28 for Perriman, that's right at the middle, 50th percentile. When you go back to 2016, Tyrell Williams, 13.6, 8.7, 8.6, and 10.2 points per game. He bests all of those seasons except all of Perriman's seasons except one. So Perriman had a 9.9 points per game in 2019. The rest have been pretty lackluster. So when you sort of look at it, I don't know if there's like a top 40 finisher at the position, but all told, I kind of like the way that Williams looks on paper compared to Perriman. I do want to note, you know, if we just look at and just use it as a little bit of a guide from last year, let me just walk you through the ranks in terms of some of the positional stuff. So fifth in terms of, so this is the Chargers last year. So again, Anthony Lynn, the OC for Detroit last year, was the head coach of the Chargers. I'm not sure how much we take of it because he wasn't calling the plays, but let's just use it as just a wide lens to look through. Fifth in terms of running back routes, fourth in terms of running back targets, second in terms of running back's receptions per drop back, and fourth in terms of running back yards per drop back. So pretty friendly to the running backs, and he's got a couple of good pass-catching ones there with Detroit, including Swift and, to a lesser extent, Jamal Williams. So just keep that in mind. I think it could actually be a pretty favorable offense for him. And then when you look at the receivers, they kind of blend in. 19th in terms of routes per drop back, 26th in terms of targets per drop back, 25th in terms of receptions per drop back, 21st in terms of yards per drop back. So that was, you know, much more of some tight end and running back usage there than it was completely receivers. When you look at the tight ends, 25th in terms of routes run per drop back, 16th in terms of targets per drop back, 18th in terms of receptions per drop back, 18th in terms of yards per drop back. So very friendly to the running backs. I think that's something to definitely keep in mind. When you look at the football guys projection, you have basically two starters, essentially, is I guess the easiest way to look at it. You got Swift, running back 11 in terms of the consensus projection. He is actually 11th in terms of the analytics of Dynasty RDP at present as well. So that's right on the number, essentially. Jared Goff, 25th in terms of Football Guys projection. He is 29.5 in terms of his median RDP over the last month. Jamal Williams, 46th in terms of AOD over the past month, 34th in terms of projection. So I think that's notable there. He's on the running back 3 range of projections. He's in the running back 4 range of costs, and I think he's in the running back 2 range of outcomes in the event that Swift is injured. So just sort of bear that in mind. I think it's a really sneaky and savvy spot because there's a chance that it actually breaks towards him much more favorably, even if Swift is there, than we might otherwise think. Perriman, 91st in terms of AOD, RDP, 77th in terms of projections. The interesting equity spot is Tyrell Williams, 104th in terms of AOD, RDP, 62nd in terms of projections. So again, I'm not sure how much that helps you. And even in like a best case, is he wide receiver like 40? Something like that. I'm not sure how much that helps you, but I think it's interesting is like, hey, if you're out there in like a 28-man league and he's available, which I think is not impossible to think of, that's not a horrible ad. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 61.5 in terms of median over at AOD, 78th in terms of projections. Hockenson, he is going at fourth overall in terms of tight end projection at Football Guys. So kind of like what we see there when you look at him over the past month over at analyticsdynasty.com's RDP. You have him all the way up at fifth, and he is behind Kelce, Pitts, Waller, and Kittle in that order. That's a pretty big tier gap, and then he's basically in there with Mark Andrews down there, basically in the mid-fifth round. So Hockenson going fifth overall, Andrews going sixth at the position. So I think this is notable. I think the things we're going to want to watch for are run-pass split. Absolutely run-pass split is the big one. And then, you know, we'll see sort of where it goes in terms of you know, production from Goff. How clean can they keep him? I think it's a big one as well. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.